Hi, I'm Ray Barry, and from wherever you're listening to the Audio Wave Cafe podcast, I really do appreciate you joining me. Okay, I think that's enough for the chat. On this episode, my guest is singer-songwriter Guy Surtees. Later, I also get to play an original song by Guy titled Thanking God I'm Alive. Also bring you music news and views, and I shine a spotlight on David Gray's classic album, White Ladder. We should move on. American guitar and amp manufacturer Fender have teamed up with French fashion house Yves Saint Laurent to release a limited edition Stratocaster, together with a guitar amp and a set of guitar picks. I guess it makes a change. Instead of rolling out yet another signature guitar by the likes of Jimmy Page or Nile Rodgers, Fender thought they would add a bit of haute couture chic to their guitar and amp range. Actually, I think the guitar looks pretty cool, and it will set you back almost £10,000, and there are only 10 of them. And then why not buy the deluxe amp, which will drain almost £2,400 out of your wallet. And the guitar and amp obviously come with the Saint Laurent logo. Ooh. I think Fender and Saint Laurent bought out the guitar pick so poor people like me wouldn't feel left out. God bless them. Though they come in a box of six for more than £25. I know I can't buy just one. I guess I'll just have to stick with my 60p Jim Dunlop picks. That's unless they've teamed up with Louis Vuitton. Nah, that'd never happen. It's been in the news a lot recently that fans have been throwing various objects at artists performing on stage. At a Las Vegas show on the 29th of July, rap singer Cardi B retaliated against a member of the audience who hurled a drink at her by throwing her microphone back at the stunned fan. The thing is, before the incident, Cardi B happily asked her fans to splash her on stage. What's the problem? Seems like she got what she asked for. Anyhow, the audio company who owned the Shure digital microphone have now sold it on eBay for just under $100,000. Apparently no charges are being pressed by the injured fan or the Las Vegas police. She should sue. The audio company make a ton of money, Cardi B has gained more publicity and notoriety, and the injured fan gets nothing. If the mic had hit me, I'd be suing everybody for injury, mental anguish, and anything more my lawyer could think of. Damon Albarn, frontman for 90s band Blur, is also now criticising artificial intelligence, saying, "We're going to need better drugs to get us through it." Damon, when AI music really takes off, you're going to need more than better drugs. You're going to need a new career, mate. Finally, US heavy rockers Metallica are moaning that over the years, the band have had to fork out $300,000 for replacement cushions at Long Beach Arena in California because of damage by fans using them as frisbees. You have cushions at Long Beach Arena. Anyhow, if the band have paid that much to replace cushions, don't just play there anymore. Simple. Look, guys, I think you just might need a new manager, as I think he's in the replacement cushions business. My guest on this episode is Nuneaton-based singer-songwriter Guy Surtees. Many thanks for joining me on this call.
Thanks, Ray. Nice to be here.
Yeah, you're welcome. He was once a radio presenter. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it was July 2020, so everyone was sat at home, couldn't really go anywhere. And a friend of mine said, "Do you fancy being a radio presenter?" And I said, "Yeah. It's something that I've, thought about before. So, I'll give it a go." And he said, "What kind of genre do you want to do?" I said, "Well, I really want to do country music." He said, "Oh, that's good. We haven't got a country show on our station." So I just went through all my country music and put my first show together. I did it actually. I had to do like a bit of a practice run myself. So I did like a half an hour practice run and then played it back and listened to it and thought, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And I did that for 18 months altogether.
Where was that?
It was a station called Enjoy Radio. They're based north somewhere.
It didn't get paid for it.
No, it's what they call, isn't it, community radio. So it's all voluntary. Yeah.
Guy, how many years have you been performing on stage?
Many, many. I'm gonna say 20, but it's probably a lot more than that. I don't want to give my age away, obviously. I actually started off performing my own songs many years ago. I mean, I was influenced by bands like The Jam and The Specials, you know, being a Coventry kid. I played around that same sort of time, early 80s, in bands around the Coventry sort of music pubs. And then other bands, you know, over the years. I was in a band called Beachman Tango. We sort of played at nightclubs and pubs and things in Coventry. So I was writing and performing my own songs then. I had this great idea that I thought, well, if I join a covers band, I can find out, you know, learn a little bit about the song structure, you know, production, how things should sound. I joined the band. I was getting paid for it, about £20 a night at the time. And I learned loads and loads. The main thing I learned was this is a pretty good way to earn money. So I stuck with it for quite a while, a few too many years. Other times I have, you know, recorded and done things with my own songs, but never really, you know, got anywhere. It's never been an easier time than right now to record and release your own music. Your self-promotion through social media, it doesn't cost anything to release your music. Obviously it costs a lot to record it properly, but it's really good fun. I just thought, you know, it was really to do with the radio show. I'd been sat there week after week, you know, for 2 hours playing all this music, this great country music, and I thought, do you know what, I've got some good songs that I think I should record and release. So that's the reason that I stopped doing the radio show in December 21, so it was like Christmas 21, and I just thought, yeah, it's time for me to get, you know, back on the horse, do this, to get my own songs out there. Yeah, there's another little country reference there, but yeah, it was. I'm sat here in my cowboy hat. Obviously, your listeners can't see that, but as you can see, I got the cowboy hat on, living it. You know, trying to live it every day.
Right. Okay. So, what style of music do you play?
I record and write mainly new country, which isn't, you know, all fiddles and banjos and yeehaw, you know, modern country. I mean, I think everybody's probably grown up, whatever stage of life, whatever age they are, they've grown up with country music, whether it be in, you know, from their parents or just on the radio, movies, TV shows. And, you know, there's a lot of great country music around at the minute. And, you know, you may, people like Lady A, Little Big Town, Chris Stapleton. I mean, everyone loves Tennessee Whiskey. And, you know, what a great country song that is. It wasn't actually Chris Stapleton's own song. He didn't write it. He covered that song. So what a great country song that is. And, you know, when you put that on, I mean, you go to a bar, you know, or karaoke, and you play a Kenny Rogers or Dolly Parton, everyone sings along.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely true. So what inspired you to take up the country music?
So I'm going to give away my age now, because 1986... is when I first heard a guy called Dwight Yoakam, and I mentioned him in my first single, English Country Boy. So Dwight Yoakam really got, I heard him and thought, wow, what's that? And it was country music. But I've got his first three albums on cassette, and it was just a great sound, just the storytelling, kind of the energy in the music and the guitars and his voice. And then, you know, more recently, like I say, people mentioned people like, you know, Lady A, Little Big Town, Brothers Osborne, Brett Young, Sean McConnell, which is one of my big sort of heroes at the moment. And I just thought, I've got some songs. I could either turn them into country songs, or I can carry on writing them as country songs. That's what really got me to get into country.
I'm really interested to hear about your musical experiences in California. What's all that about?
Oh, wow. How long have you got? So I was in a covers band at the time. It was 1990, and I'd been to New York in 87, the same year that Coventry won the FA Cup. I went to Canada and New York with a couple of friends. When I came back, I just couldn't get it out of my head. The States had really, you know, made a big impression on me. For 3 years then I thought, I've got to go back. And it was calling me. A friend of mine decided to move out to California to live with his sister and her husband. He said, why don't you come over? Why don't you give it a try? So I folded the covers band that I was in with my girlfriend. And we both sold up a few things. I sold my van, got £800 for it. And we both got one-way tickets to LA, where we were picked up at the airport by my friend Ron, taken to this house in Riverside. So we were living in upstairs in this house in Riverside. Now, downstairs was my friend's sister, Maggie, and her husband, Gary. And Gary was in a band called The Tuners. And one day he just said to me, hey, guy, our bass player has just got a job in Japan for 8 weeks. So we're looking for a bass player. He said, do you play bass? Yeah, I play bass, yeah. He said, oh, okay. He said, so let's just have a little bit of a get together, a bit of a chat, play some songs, and, you know, we'll see if you if you fit in. So we went downstairs to his kind of basement and we played to put some music on, had a bit of a jam, bit of a chat. Yep, he said, I think you're going to fit in just fine. You've got the job. So we did a few rehearsals and I started my 8-week stint with the Tuners. My first gig was on Doheny State Beach. Now, I don't know if you know the Beach Boys very well, but they mentioned Doheny in one of their songs, Surfing USA. And that's my first gig. And it was just like so incredible. I was in, you know, California playing in a country band on Doheny State Beach. And it was just surreal. I mean, after that, we played in, you know, like what they might call honky-tonk bars, country bars, where they're all wearing cowboy hats and they're all line dancing and buying you drinks. And just an absolutely incredible experience. So I did that for 8 weeks. I was sort of traveling away. So I'd go away to sort of Las Vegas and San Francisco, down to the beach, Sunset Beach during the week, get back at the weekend for the gigs and just have the time of my life. Really amazing. So I did that for 8 weeks and then moved to Hollywood, which sounds quite glamorous, but it's really not, as you probably know yourself. It's quite grim in parts.
Yeah. But why did you come back?
Really badly homesick. I wasn't very old. I used to have these dreams, you know. I'd sort of wake up in the middle of the night dreaming about my family, mum and dad and my sisters, and I got two young nephews at the time, and I'd thinking, I'd love to see them again. So yeah, I came back about 6-8 months later. So I wasn't out there for very long, but long enough, you know, for it to make a big impression on me.
Earlier this year, you released a 4-track EP titled English Country Boy. What reaction have you received?
To get a good price, I got 500 CDs pressed. I've sold about 100. I've given a few away as sort of promo copies. And so I've got about 350 left. You know, I've got some live shows to do the rest of this year. And they're on the website. They're in some shops as well. So I'm waiting for the shops to come back and sort of tell me how many they've sold and hopefully get some money off that. So yeah, with the CD, I've also discovered that not many people have CD players, which is a bit of a problem.
I do.
But yeah, you do. I mean, I've got a cassette player. So yeah, I'm still selling, you know, selling them here and there. They are available from various shops and on my website as well.
Where did you record the EP?
So it was a studio called Rhythm Studios. They used to be based in Leamington Spa, moved to Bidford-on-Avon now. So it's a really nice studio. He's been there for quite a few years now. It's on a farm. So he's got basically a big old sort of farm building, like outbuilding, where he's got a drum room. Then there's a live room, which you record, you know, guitars and vocals. Then there's the main control room with all the big mixing desk and everything in there, which most things are done on a laptop nowadays. When I decided to record this EP, I thought, you know what? I've got to go to Rhythm Studios because I know that Paul is a great guy to work with, really knows his stuff, gets a great sound. And he's so laid back and chilled. But, you know, when you come out of the studio at the end of the week or the end of the day, whatever, however long you're going for, you come out with, you know, exactly what you want.
Oh, that's great stuff. How did you find the experience of recording your songs in the studio?
I love recording in the studio. I record at home demos just on my MacBook. So I've got software on there. And I've got, you know, the guitars and the sort of a little electronic drum kit, keyboard. So I do my own demo recordings. And then I sent them to Paul in the studio and said, look, they're the tracks. They're my demos. That's the songs. Have a listen. Familiarize yourself with them. And let's see what we can do with them. So, you know, going into the studio and hearing the song built up, you know, track by track. So we started off, Paul played the drums over my demo. And we took the demo away and said, let's start from scratch. So I've got a drum track, which was already fantastic. He's a brilliant drummer as well. So we got a drum track. And I just love picking up the guitar, plugging it in. Paul says, what sound do you want? And I said, I don't know. It's country, but it's country sort of country rock. I said, let's give it a country rock edge, you know. So he said, okay, let's try this, you know. Like a Fender Twin, or we'll say let's try Marshall Stack, and you know, for different types of sounds.
Marshall Stack.
Yeah, and you can just dial it in on the laptop and you play it, and there you go, you're playing through a Marshall Stack. And it's just, yeah, amazing. So I love that, you know, that hearing the song build up from scratch and adding the guitar. So obviously then I got acoustic guitar, go in the live room, play acoustic guitar. He says, yeah, that's great, let's record it again. And I said, what was wrong with that? He said, nothing. He says, I want to do it again. So there's two guitars on there. So we get two acoustic guitars. So we look, sort of pan them left and right. So you've got a real big acoustic guitar sound. Then he says, right, electric guitars. So we do two electric guitars. Then we do lead guitar, two of those. So as you can imagine, I mean, you know, you've played in band yourself. You know, you've got two of everything. Then we put the bass down, only the one bass, because two would sound a bit muddy and a bit messy. We didn't do any keyboard on this session. There was nothing at all. Oh, no, apart from some strings, which we put on one of the tracks. So I just love to hear the sound building up, you know, and then I sit back. And he's got a sofa in the studio where I sit back on the studio and on the sofa listening to him mixing. And I was thinking, wow, this is fantastic. The one thing that I hate and a big mistake that I made is that I saved vocal day until Thursday afternoon. So we'd been in there from Monday recording everything, all the instruments, and then Thursday afternoon I said, right, vocals. It wasn't right. I wasn't happy with my performance, so we went and recorded all the vocals again. That's the only thing that I hate, because, you know, I'm a live singer and I've been for many years. So stood in a studio, a dark studio as well, it's a dark room with one or two little lights on there, spotlights, and singing into a microphone with headphones on. It's not where I live. You know, I live on the stage normally. So the studio is a great experience apart from recording vocals.
Right. I get that. Yeah. Yeah, I really do. And what platforms can people find your music?
My music is on literally all platforms. And the great thing as well is that it's also on things like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. So when I do a little video, promotion video or a reel, I can actually use my own music and I get paid for it. It's not a lot. You know, it's probably like 0.004 pence, something like that, each time I use it. But it's everywhere. And that's a great thing, because, you know, anybody can hear my music anywhere in the world. And if they want to use it on their videos, then they can go ahead and do that. So, go ahead and, you know, stream my music on any platform you like.
So do you have any interesting events or projects coming up later this year?
So, yeah, I've got enough songs to do sort of two or three albums at the minute. So I'm going to aim to get a 10-track album ready out, by the end of the year. Then with the video footage that I've got from the shows I've done this year, I'll be looking to contact, you know, festivals for next year. So I'm going to have a pretty busy summer, hopefully, sort of June, July, August. Hopefully, you know, I'll be playing a festival every week and promoting the album. And then it's kind of like, you know, get back in the studio again. So it's a bit of a machine I've turned myself into.
A machine. Are you ever going back to America to perform?
I would love to. When I was doing the radio show, I was listening to a lot of the up-and-coming singers in Nashville. So, and I kind of made contact with them, and we became kind of friends, you know, like online friends. And they would send me their music, and I would say, right, I'm going to play your song on this week's show. And I'd obviously tag them in sort of social media posts, and they would share the posts. And I think some of their friends, their fans would listen to the show as well, because obviously it was international. It was on the internet. So, you know, I've got a little bit of respect from them for doing that. And there's people like, I mean, I don't know, you won't have heard of them, but I'm going to mention them anyway. Ali Seeley, Brittany Moore, SJ McDonald, Blind Joe, Cody Joe Hodges. There's people there that, you know, that I've made contacts with. And I will go to Nashville either next year or the year after. And I'll be obviously meeting up with those people. I know I've got, like I said before, fans, followers, listeners, shall we say, all around the US, Canada, Australia, and other singers, other sort of country singers from the States who I'm kind of making contact with now. And I'd love to set up something where I can say, look, I'll come over to your neck of the woods, sing a few dates with you around where you live, and then we'll set up something, a little tour over here. I can bring you over. And you can do, a little UK tour. That'd be a great thing to do. And I know people that kind of do dabble in that sort of stuff. So, you know, it'd be a great way. I'd love to go back over to, to California and find my old band and, play with them. Fantastic, wouldn't it? I don't know if they're still going. I mean, you know, the tuners, I guess I'll have to check them out, look up on YouTube or somewhere and see if they're still around.
Yeah, that'd be great. Guy, it's an opportune moment to wrap this interview up. Thanks so much for being my guest. It's been a real pleasure.
Right, it's been fantastic, and it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, and thank you to all your listeners.
During the 90s, singer-songwriter David Gray released three folk rock albums, A Century Ends, Flesh and Sell, Sell, Sell. Ian Myer had signed up Gray to record a third album at Pyramid Sound Studios in New York. He disliked how the album turned out. The recording studio environment worked against how he wanted his finished songs to sound. With commercial success eluding him, and without a recording contract, and struggling financially, he decided the only option was to record his next album at his flat in London. Please Forgive Me, a song off the album, was written at a party, with Gray saying the chords and lyrics fell out of the sky, making the hairs on his neck stand on end. That song turned out to be the catalyst for writing the rest of the album. Microphones and other bits and pieces, together with some money, was donated to the project. With it, he bought a Roland groove box, an 8-track sequencer with a built-in drum machine, and together with his engineer producer, Lestin Paulson, set about recording the songs for his fourth album, White Ladder. Recording in his flat was challenging. On Babylon, the second single release from the album, at around 26 seconds into the song, you can hear a car drive by outside the flat. Paulson, the producer, originally removed the offending segment, but later decided to put it back onto the recording, as he thought the track sounded better with it. The album was released on Gray's own record label, IHD Records, in March 1999. But had no impact on the charts. It wasn't until a year later that the album was re-released on David Matthews' ATO Records label based in New York. This time, things started to happen. The album sold incredibly well in Ireland, and it came in at number 69 in the UK album charts. It was the release of the single Babylon, taken off the album, that propelled David Gray to worldwide fame. Other singles from the album were Please Forgive Me, This Year's Love, Sail Away, and his version of Soft Cell's Say Hello, Wave Goodbye. White Ladder spent 3 years in the UK charts, becoming one of the best-selling albums of the 21st century. Oh, and it sold over 7 million records worldwide. Not bad for a bunch of songs recorded in a bedroom. Coming up is an original song written and recorded by Guy Surtees, Thanking God I'm Alive.
Till then, I got a whole lot of business waiting for me at my work. You know I'm gonna need a witness, 'cause if the boss sees me shirking, man, he's gonna go berserk. Driving 30 miles an hour on the way to my job, got a whole lot of work to do to get to the top. I don't wanna be a legend, I'm just trying to survive. And when I wake up every morning, I'm thanking God I'm alive. Well, hello Friday evening, now the working week is done. I ain't out for making trouble, just wanna have some fun. I got some money in my pocket, and I'm gonna spend it all. It's gonna go off like a rocket, 'cause tonight we're getting crazy and we're gonna have a ball. Driving 40 miles an hour on the way to my friends, gonna party at the bar where the fun never. Legend, I'm just trying to survive. And when I wake up every morning, I'm thanking God I'm alive. Mm-hmm. understand. That's when I get to play my music. And tonight I get to open for my favorite country band. Driving 50 miles an hour on the way to my show. Got my guitar in the back and boy, I'm ready to go. I don't wanna be a legend, I'm just trying to survive. And when I wake up every morning, I'm thanking God I'm alive. I'm thanking God I'm alive.
That was Thanking God I'm Alive by Guy Surtees, and thanks again for being my guest. On the next episode, my guest will be X Specials and currently in the Scarbilly Rebels, Roddy Radiation Byers, also bring you music news and views, and a shine a spotlight on iconic Sun Studios in Memphis, USA. I think that's about all for now. Yeah, it is. I'm done. Till next time.